Welcome to the Allied Mines 2016 annual results call. If you would like to ask a question, you can press star one on your keypad at any time during the call. Please identify yourself by name and institutional company before asking a question. The line will now go silent until your host is ready to start. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Neil Pinsey, Head of Corporate Development at Allied Mines. Joining me today are Gill Smith, Chief Executive Officer, and Joe Pignato, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to draw your attention to the usual disclaimers in our annual results announcement regarding forward-looking statements, et cetera. We will take these as read. Let me now hand over the call to Gill Smith.
Thank you, Neil. Good afternoon, and welcome to Allied Mines' 2016 annual results call. Going forward, we expect to host investor calls twice a year at the time of our annual and our half-year results. I apologize that we set up today's call for the end of the day. I'd like to remind everyone that this call is being recorded, and the recording will be made available on our website. In terms of what we'll cover today, first, I would like to share some initial observations from my first 6 weeks as CEO and provide context for the recent restructuring. Second, Joe will take us through the financial highlights. And third, I will summarize the progress and priorities of our portfolio companies. To the first topic for today. When assuming the role of CEO on the 13th of March, I was tasked by the board to undertake a full review of our current portfolio and the effectiveness of our business model with a view to identifying opportunities to increase shareholder value. In order to achieve that, simply put, we need to, one, accelerate the path to commercialization and monetization of our existing portfolio companies. Two, increase the number of new high-quality investments. And three, run them efficiently. This requires a more disciplined approach to financial and human capital allocation, including knowing if and when to accelerate investments in promising companies and when to terminate our support. After reviewing the portfolio, we concluded that there were several businesses that lacked the appropriate risk-reward profile and so should be terminated. Either the quantum of additional capital and/or the time required to unlock commercial potential appeared too large or the prospects too uncertain. The decision to discontinue funding immediately was painful but necessary to reduce the cash burn and to free up resources to be reallocated to our most promising portfolio businesses and the pipeline. More importantly, the review highlighted that we have several highly promising companies that we're confident have the potential to generate attractive shareholder returns. Our top priority is to ensure that most or all can achieve a successful monetization event in the medium term, i.e., over the next 3 years. This requires a clear line of sight regarding the milestones that drive value and the right resources to achieve those milestones. We have reset the goals or MBOs for these businesses, and I will speak to them later on this call. In addition to redefining priorities and capital allocation for the current portfolio, we've also been examining whether there are improvements we can make to our business model to enable us to accelerate the velocity of new investments and their path to commercialization. This work is ongoing, but I would like to share some observations and the changes that we have already enacted. First, we're institutionalizing this more disciplined approach to capital allocation and accountability for achievement of the MBOs. This works both ways. As we've noted, we'll seek to add resources sooner to the promising companies, including a dedicated CEO and other resources to de-risk the path to commercialization, including a stronger role for advisory and company boards. At the same time, we'll be more disciplined in terminating investments early when the investments fail to be realized or the market opportunity or prospects change. Second, we have an unrivaled origination platform, in particular via our Federal Labs network and our strategic relationships with Bristol-Myers Squibb, or BMS, and GE. Federally funded labs are particularly interesting as they give us access to relatively advanced or proven technologies. Historically, we've taken a somewhat opportunistic approach to sourcing, leading to a diversified portfolio. But we think there are advantages to taking a more targeted approach defined by themes that leverage our competitive advantages in terms of our network, market insight, business model, and resources. For example, we're looking at investment opportunities that leverage the unique network and experience gained for our investments in Federated Wireless, Hawkeye 360, and BridgeSat. We believe we can make significantly more investments each year. Finally, we're broadening our syndication model. Bringing in external investors earlier provides external validation, and in the case of strategic investors, binds in the commercial partners to help accelerate or de-risk progress to commercialization. While this is likely to reduce the level of controlling interest that Allied Minds has in its later stage companies, we're confident that the net benefit will be stronger businesses, more aligned with the market realities, and with a clearer path to exit. I'll now invite Joe to talk through the financial results.
Thank you, Jill. I'll now take a few minutes to run you through several of the investment and financial highlights from 2016. During 2016, an aggregate of $108.2 million was invested into new and existing portfolio companies, including $60.2 million from subsidiary fundraisings, including $48.5 million coming from third-party investment to accelerate the development of four of the group's existing companies, Federated Wireless, Precision Biopsy, Hawkeye 360, and ABLS2. Federated Wireless raised $22 million in early 2016. Allied Minds invested $5 million of this fundraising, and third-party investment totaled $17 million. Precision Biopsy raised $5 million during 2016 and also received a final tranche of $6 million from a fundraising completed in 2015. Both sums were from external investors. Hawkeye 360 raised $11 million in a funding round led by Razor's Edge Ventures, with additional participation by Allied Minds and a defense market leader. A further $2.75 million of new equity was issued by Hawkeye 360 post-period end, of which $1.5 million was issued in the form of warrants in association with a $3 million development program. ABLS2 raised $15 million as it moved from initial feasibility studies to fund the lead optimization program. $12 million of this funding was provided by ABLS Capital, with the remaining $3 million from Bristol-Myers Squibb. In addition to these fundraisings, $48 million was invested by the group into new and other existing portfolio companies, including investments in four new businesses, Signature Medical, ABLS Capital, ABLS3, and Vatic Materials. Following further due diligence on Vatic Materials, a decision was taken post-period end to not exercise an option to license the underlying IP, and the business was terminated. Separately, ABLS secured binding equity commitments of up to $80 million into ABLS Capital. These commitments, together with up to $20 million from Bristol-Myers Squibb, will fund development costs for lead optimization programs of promising drug compounds sourced by ABLS. For the year ended December 31st, 2016, there was a net loss of $128.7 million versus a loss of $97.9 million in 2015. This was primarily reflecting an increase in the overall growth of the group's investment in commercial and R&D activities. In December 2016, Allied Minds raised $80.3 million in gross proceeds via placing of new ordinary shares. Proceeds from the placing will be applied to invest alongside third parties in the group's later stage subsidiaries and selected early stage subsidiaries to invest in the pipeline of innovative new technologies. At December 31st, group cash and investments totaled $226.1 million versus $194.8 million in 2015. Included in this group total was cash held at the parent level totaling $136.7 million versus $115 million at December 31, 2015. Following Jill's appointment as interim CEO, the board took the difficult decision to undertake a restructuring resulting in the discontinuation of funding at several subsidiary businesses. Discontinuation of funding at these subsidiaries affected frees up approximately $14 million of capital spend budgeted for 2017, but so far not taken, or approximately $9 million net of a restructuring charge currently estimated at $4.7 million to be taken in the second quarter. Group Subsidiary Ownership Adjusted Value, or GSOAV, today stands at $416.2 million, down $119.9 million, or 22.3% as previously reported. A reduction of $119.6 million primarily reflects the impact of the restructuring announced on April 5th. We marked down valuations by $146.6 million for the subsidiaries affected, which was offset by a $27 million net increase elsewhere in the portfolio, driven primarily by two events: an increase in the pre-money valuation at Hawkeye 360 as a result of the closure of the Series A fundraise, and an increase in the pre-money valuation of ABLS2 prior to the funding into the lead optimization phase. As a reminder, we indicated at the time of our 2016 half-yearly report that the board was evaluating whether the continued disclosure of the top 10 individual subsidiary valuations may cause competitive harm to the group. Our primary concern is the harm done when conducting subsidiary fundraising. Also reviewed was whether the individual valuations and any short-term fluctuations is useful to shareholders. In light of these considerations, the board decided the group would disclose only the aggregate GSOAV figure. However, we will continue to provide qualitative discussion on the drivers of any movement in this aggregate figure. At this point, I would like to turn the call back over to Jill.
Thank you, Joe. In this last part of our agenda, I will speak about the most promising subsidiaries, each with a strong product or technology advantage and targeting significant markets. Together, they offer multiple potential monetization events in the next 3 years. While we're excited about the potential for these businesses, I do note that they're still relatively early stage and still have technical and or market risks ahead. In certain cases, the risks are potentially binary in terms of their outcome, as in the case of results for clinical trials. And in others, there are risks that are largely out of our control, such as satellite launch and regulatory approval. Our strong technical leads, partners, and boards are actively working together to de-risk the path forward, giving us confidence that the portfolio can deliver. Let me start with Federated Wireless. Federated Wireless has delivered software for spectrum sharing and is positioned as a neutral service provider at the center of the rapidly developing 3.5G or CBRS ecosystem. Spectrum sharing offers the potential to provide a cost-effective way to densify the networks of multiple target markets, including network operators, enterprises, and wireless service providers. CBRS is the first band to be opened up to spectrum sharing. Other bands will follow, and we anticipate that other countries will follow the U.S. In 2016, Federated Wireless led the way, partnering with leading players in the space, including Alphabet, Siemens, Nokia, and Ericsson, to trial and validate their technology. A critical milestone is FCC certification, which is expected in late 2017, after which Federated plans to launch its spectrum access commercial product. Another is completion of Series B funding in 2017. Commercialization will depend upon the market timing. And based upon what we're learning from our trials with dozens of operators and technology partners and U.S. regulatory and standards activities, we think this will happen in 2018 with participation from carriers, cable companies, and enterprise. Next, Spin Transfer Technologies, which is engaged in the development of OST MRAM, an innovative next-generation memory circuit technology, providing a combination of fast write speed, low power, and virtually unlimited endurance. In 2016, STT shipped the first samples of its diagnostic memory chip and completed prototypes of memory arrays demonstrating megabit density technology. The company is sharply focused on demonstrating its core differentiators and securing a strategic development partner and expects to complete a fundraise in 2017. On the life sciences side, SciFlor is a developer of best-in-class molecules, applying strategic fluorination to enhance efficacy and safety. The first compound is a topical eye treatment for age-related macular degeneration and diabetic macular edema, both multi-billion dollar markets. Having ramped up phase one trials in 2016, the first milestones for this compound are the readout for DME expected in 2017 and for AMD in 2018. Cyflor's second compound is targeting safer treatments in epilepsy, tinnitus, and other diseases. The company completed preclinical testing in 2016 and expects to file an IND and complete enrollment this year. Cyflor is also developing a pipeline portfolio beyond these two lead compounds. Precision Biopsy is developing alternative prostate cancer diagnostics and focal therapy. Its Claricol technology provides live tissue identification. This enables physicians to target only suspicious tissue, potentially reducing by up to 90% the number of samples that have to be taken and providing immediate feedback to patients. PB began clinical trials in 2016 to assess the reliability of the tissue classification system and to optimize the underlying algorithm. The first milestone will be in 2017 when it expects to complete Cohort A and initiate Cohort B, the results of which are required to support submission for approval, commercial release, and system launch in the US and Europe, likely to be in 2019. Precision Biopsy technology is potentially equally applicable to other organs, including the breast and the kidney. There are two other portfolio companies that we count in our list of promising companies, originating from our federal labs network. They're Hawkeye 360 and BridgeSat, both of which participate in the very active low Earth orbit, or LEO, satellite sector. Hawkeye 360 was formed out of our relationship with Virginia Tech and is developing a space-based radio frequency, or RF, mapping an analytics system that's operated from a constellation of LEO satellites. The technology has wide-ranging government and commercial applications, including in identifying RF spectrum interference, reconnaissance, search and rescue, and others. Hawkeye represents a role model in terms of the quality of advisory board and the board, and met its first milestone of a successful Series A fundraise with outside investors. Last year, the company began manufacturing its first cluster of satellites and payloads and will spend 2017 preparing for a launch of its first cluster in 2018. This year, Hawkeye also expects to initiate contracts for development of its next commercial satellite cluster. BridgeSat was formed out of the relationship with Aerospace Corporation and Draper Lab. It aims to reinvent data communications for satellites, replacing RF with an advanced optical communications network. Optical comms promise fast, reliable, and affordable data transmission to expand the capacity for new applications and services. Having made progress on all elements of its solution, space, ground, network, in 2016, BridgeSat secured agreement early this year with the Swedish Space Corporation to locate its receiver equipment at three of their ground stations. BridgeSat will follow Hawkeye's model, complete its Series A fundraise with outside investors participating, putting in place an experienced CEO, strong advisory board, and board early on. In 2017, BridgeSat also expects to acquire launch customers and demonstrate operation of its first ground station ahead of a launch of its first constellation expected in 2018. Finally, I want to speak about our strategic partnerships with BMS and GE. We believe that these and potentially other corporates represent a core growth platform and an important competitive advantage for Allied Minds. For our partners, we provide a highly attractive, scalable option to build companies outside the corporate environment. Allied Minds, in turn, has access to unique, more mature technologies that we can then commercialize with strong strategic support. AVLS, the JV with BMS, has launched four entities to date, two of which are progressing through preclinical programs. The GE partnership was launched in late 2016, during which time we focused on due diligence on several new opportunities. We anticipate that the number of new companies formed under both these partnerships will accelerate in 2017 and beyond. To conclude, 6 weeks into the role, we've taken decisive action to focus capital and management resources on areas of the portfolio and pipeline that hold the greatest promise. We've already started to evolve our business model to better leverage our unique advantages to increase the cadence of new investments and strengthen our approach to driving successful commercialization. The US is the largest and most innovative R&D market in the world, bar none. We're a leader in IP commercialization with an unmatched origination platform that includes a distinguished set of relationships with federally funded labs and corporate partners. We have a portfolio of highly promising businesses targeting large and growing markets that offer multiple potential monetization events in the next 3 years and ample cash to support our plans to grow the business. I'm excited about our prospects for sustainable growth and confident in our ability to deliver shareholder value. I would like to take a moment to thank our shareholders, partners, and employees for their ongoing support. I'd now like to open up the call for any questions.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please dial star one on the telephone keypad. The first question comes from Quang Tung Lee. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I'd like to ask about the GSOAV. You said you're not going to provide the breakdown anymore and instead just the total GSOAV. But am I right to assume that apart from the two subsidiaries at Hawkeye 360 and ABLS2, the rest remain broadly unchanged?
Yes, that is correct. There were, not large changes in the other subsidiaries' valuations, other than the two events going on at Hawkeye and ABLS2 in connection with the financing.
I see. And if that's the case, then in terms of increase, can you at least provide by how much GSOAV, Hawkeye increase, and ABLS increase in total? It was $27 million, as you said. Can you provide a breakdown of that?
I don't have that detail in front of me, Quan. I know that in the release of the financing for Hawkeye 360, I think the valuation of the financing was there at the time, but unfortunately, I don't have that at my fingertips at the moment.
I see. And maybe my final question. In your outlook, you mentioned you intend to raise funds at several subsidiaries, including ICT, Federal, Wireless, and Bridgestart. Can you disclose how much you intend to raise at each subsidiary?
We haven't disclosed that yet. The financings are subject to what we think the business plans require for the foreseeable future. So we haven't disclosed that, and we haven't necessarily started discussions on some of them otherwise, so it would be premature.
I see. Thank you.
The next question comes from Harvey Robinson. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Two questions on commercialization. Firstly, with regard to STT, you obviously sent sample chips out in Q1, and that was pretty good by some commentary in the press about how well these chips were working. Could you give us some color on when we would expect to hear back from the people who've taken these samples? And secondly, on Federated Wireless, clearly you've had some approvals from FCC or conditional approvals. EAD was interviewed in the press in the US last week. She was posting the website, and he seems to suggest that Q3, Q4 this year, we would see some news there and some initial product and the full rollout across the US. Could you confirm if that's the case from your perspective? Thank you.
Yes. Regarding STT, it's still early on. Regarding the sample chips that have sent out, we've been in discussions with several folks. And those discussions will continue, so I'm not able to give a timeline at this point in time. Regarding Federated Wireless, yes, there was the conditional approval granted, which was the first step, and I think the expectation is that the full approval will be granted a little later this year, including the full FCC certification. So we'll be happy to announce that once we receive it in the coming months.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Kenneth Charles. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Ken Rump here. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm outside. Firstly, could I ask just on Runway and the businesses that you decided not to continue, how much of the 100 or so sort of cash utilization, OPEX and CAPEX last year, how much were they responsible for? And that leads on to a question of can you give any indication of what you think the existing portfolio and central costs might consume this year?
Yes, Ken. Those companies that were affected by the restructuring, they were burning several million dollars, but it wasn't along the lines where most of the burn is on the larger subsidiaries where they've raised outside capital. So that's the case. I'm sorry, Ken. Can you mute your line? There's some background.
Yeah, sorry. Excuse me. Trying to do that.
Thank you. And then, you know, as far as the impact for this year, for 2017, obviously, as we work through this process, we'll get the benefit of the cost savings in the second half, as we noted in the marks earlier, and then presumably what would be savings in the subsequent years from these subsidiaries. Hope I answered that question adequately.
There are no more questions in the queue.
Okay, on that basis, thank you very much, everybody, for joining the call. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to seeing you in due course.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handsets.